Monster Man, Episode 218, Magman, and Mandragora. Hello and welcome to Monster Man, a show about monsters because monsters are great. I'm James Holloway, and I'm reading my way through the gaming books of yesteryear. And as I do, I'm talking about the monsters that I find in them. Their history, their mythology, their ecology, their imagery, and how to use them in games. In today's episode, we'll be looking at the first two monsters from the M chapter of Monster Manual 2, the 1983 supplement for Advanced Dungeons & Dragons 1st Edition. Before we do that, let me take care of a little administration. Normally, what I do with these episodes of Monster Man is that I record them on the weekend, and then I edit them throughout the week and release them. However, next weekend, so as I'm recording this, it's the 19th of October, so next weekend, from Friday the 25th onward, I'm going to be out of town. And what that means is that I'm recording a lot of episodes in advance. So if over the next week or two, you join as a Patreon subscriber, or you send me a piece of listener mail, or anything like that, and I don't get back to you, it's not because I'm ignoring it. You know, far be it from me to do either of those things. It's just that the episode that you're listening to was recorded before you did the thing, and I will catch up with them as soon as I get back. But it shouldn't interrupt the schedule. I'm just doing a double recording shift this weekend. Okay, so let's take a look at these two monsters. First, we have the Magman. Now, Magmen are just what it sounds like. They're magma men. They're sort of lava elementals. They come from the para-elemental plane of heat. And they're pretty good. They remind me a little bit of the lava children from the Fiendfolio, I think it was. They're explicitly described as being mischievous and kind of dumb, which I think is kind of a good environmental hazard monster. You know, they're an environmental hazard monster where the environmental hazard is behavioral rather than just like, well, I guess most environmental hazard monsters, the hazard is behavioral, but it's like their feeding practices or something like that. You know, it's just how they predate. With the case of the Magmen, it is how they socially relate to each other and other beings, which is that they like to run around lighting things on fire. They have this combustion touch ability. But they just don't see that as a problem because they're from the para-elemental plane of heat. It just doesn't occur to them that being lit on fire is bad for you. It's good for them. They love being lit on fire, and they love things being on fire. This is, it amuses them the way that other creatures kind of run around when they're on fire or when fires start. And I get the impression that the Magmen just think this is kind of like a silly game. Obviously, nobody could be really concerned about a raging inferno. That's the bad news. The good news is that Magmen very rarely venture out of very hot environments. So presumably, I mean, because obviously they find anything that's not, they say that anything under 1,000 degrees is considered unpleasantly cold to a Magman, so they don't spend very much time out of lava flows, which is why they love volcanic eruptions. It's their rare chance to get out of the house. Yeah, it actually says here, quote, "It never occurs to them that other beings might actually be hurt." So they're running around just kind of like playing jokes, starting fires. They're sort of roughhousing. And it doesn't occur to them that what they're doing is hurting and killing things. And they're very dumb, so it might be difficult to persuade them of that. But not impossible. I mean, they're not animals. They're intelligent-ish. They're just kind of dim. So it seems to me that where you would be most likely to encounter Magmen is in somebody's volcano base. There's a red dragon that lives at the heart of this volcano, and the volcano will be populated, as volcanoes are, by Magmen. And that's great because Magmen don't get out much, right? If they live in the volcano, they only really leave it when it erupts, and that doesn't happen very often, usually. So they're probably splashing around the lava down there, but kind of bored. And then a bunch of interesting strangers enter their environment, and they're going to interact with them the way that Magmen interact with things, that is to say, by lighting them on fire. It's a bit like, is it sharks, you know? Like, when a shark bites something, this, because, well, it does not, like, it has hands. It can't talk. Its method of interacting with things is to bite them. That's just what it does to stuff. It's how it finds out what they are. So you'll turn up, and the Magmen will kind of light you on fire, which is just sort of how they say hello. I like them. They're goofy and mischievous, but not bad, but in a way that is still dangerous and puts the PCs in a bit of a quandary about what to do with them. Well, Kona cold and shoo them back into the lava, I guess, is the answer, but, you know, they're pretty good fun. You could probably fight them. If you figured out how to make them behave, they might be able to tell you something useful about the lair that you're in, and that's cool. Next up, we have the Mandragora. Now, the Mandragora is a plant-like monster. It has some lashing tendrils that it uses to choke people. There's nothing wrong with any of these strangling plant monsters, but we have seen a good number of them at this point. I think that's three in this book alone, plus at least one back in the Fiend Folio. The name Mandragora is, of course, derived from the real plant, the Mandragora. Mandragora is a genus of plants within the nightshade family. And the Mandragora is related to the sort of folkloric mandrake, although many plants that are called mandrakes in ancient and medieval sources are not actually members of the Mandragora genus, although some are. Mandragora or Mandragora? I've always said Mandragora, but I have no reason to think that that's actually right. That's just kind of how I've always said it. One of the nice things is that these plant monsters are night blooming, which is kind of cool. You can definitely see them as the kind of thing that might grow in a vampire's twisted garden. That's actually a pretty fun idea, and a bit like vampires, they recoil if there is sunlight on them. You know, they only come out at night, and so if you shine sunlight on them, you can kind of fool them into thinking that it's daytime and render them inactive again. So that's pretty neat. I'm not sure why Mandragora became this name associated with spookiness, and there's a lot of folklore related to the mandragora or the mandrake. Maybe because the plants are poisonous, often highly poisonous. There's a mob boss in DC Comics called Mandragora. Monster Manual 2 actually takes pains to point out that a mandragora and a mandrake are not the same thing, facing again the problem that the pool of monster names and monster identities in folklore doesn't always really match up, right? So you might get something that is effectively the same monster with two different names, or two completely different monsters that are given the same name, such as the Gorgon. I like the idea of a villain who's a botanist, and then you can have all the different plant-based monsters in their sort of greenhouse dungeon. That's pretty cool. I just finished playing through the Gardens of Inn, although given how much of it is kind of procedural, surreal garden experience, I don't know that you can say that you've played through it in the sense that you might have played through Castle Ravenloft and now you know everything that's in there. But there are a lot of creepy ambient plants in there, or at least a couple. The only problem with the way these things work in Dungeons & Dragons is that they're all quite similar to each other, so you might be going through the huge magical greenhouse of whatever kind of evil poison ivy type you are up against, but ultimately you just keep getting strangled. I guess you would have to assume that lots of creatures, you know, were in there, like giant bees that pollinate the flowers and so forth, but you can have, there are other ones, the yellow musk creeper. We've got another one coming up, I think actually in the next episode, the man trap, which is a different kind of dangerous plant. And I'm not saying that all the tendril lashing dangerous plants are exactly the same. I just mean that there's only so many times that you can use that one relatively specific image before the players start to get tired of it. It's not necessarily an objection to that image, it's just, it doesn't really have the recognizability to carry that weight all by itself. Anyway, the Mandragora is fine. It's a plant monster with a couple of good gimmicks, and I would definitely use it, but I feel at present like the success of this monster is very much going to depend on the presentation. You need to come up with a fun context for it, or otherwise it basically just becomes the same as all of these other either stationary or walking, deadly strangling plant monsters. Alright, that is about all the monsters that we have time for today. In our next episode, we're going to continue our journey through the M chapter of Monster Manual 2, and we are going to look at the Mantis, Giant, and the Mantrap. So please join me then for Monster Man, a show about monsters, because monsters are great. Thank you for listening. If you have a favorite monster or something you'd like me to talk about, you can reach me on Twitter at GonzoHistory or by email, gonzohistory@gmail.com. To support Monster Man, just go to patreon.com/monsterman. Thank you to Ray Otis for designing the thumbnail image. Our introductory music is Solve the Damn Mystery by Jesse Spillane from the album Descent of the Goober Monster, used under a Creative Commons attribution license. Thank you again for listening, and please join us next time.